When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Mark McGettigan, you'll find me on social media at FPL General. The end of the FPL season is in sight. We're into the month of March and there's just 11 game weeks to go. It's time to knuckle down and secure as many green arrows as possible. The deadline this weekend, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. UK time, 90 minutes before Manchester United versus Everton kicks off in the early game. The run order for today's episode, as usual, quick review of the game week, player minutes, watch list update, player stats, listener questions, captaincy and potential moves for game week 28, which is of course a double game week for the mighty Luton and the mighty Bournemouth. There will be another episode on Friday, so make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening for that one and give it a 5-star review if you get a chance as well. A quick review of how the troops performed, or I should say didn't perform, in Game Week 27. It was the third red arrow on the bounce. I've gone from 43k to 98k over the last three game weeks. So it's been a testing period, but I have been taking hits most game weeks, and I'm hoping that when it gets to Game Week 30/31 onwards, when I wildcard, when I free hit at some point after that, and bench boost as well, that this tricky period of red arrows will all be reversed and I will be well back inside the top 50k. I think I'm only, even though I'm 98k, I'm only around 20 points behind the top 50k. So with those chips and the wildcard, I'm confident of achieving my season goal. Took another -4, finished on 75 points, so that would be 71. Sold Kevin De Bruyne and Hwang Hee-chan. Always risky selling De Bruyne because I expected him to start and deliver against Manchester United. His underlying numbers were good, but thankfully he blanked. Brought in the two Tottenham guys, Heung-min Son and James Maddison, both of whom delivered, which was satisfying. Always nice when the transfers work out straight away. In the end, I thought Haaland was the best captain for the game week, but Friday night, Saturday morning, because it was my wee man's birthday, I decided to go against the crowd, which I almost never do. Captain Son over Haaland, which was scary, but thankfully Haaland didn't punish me too much. Thanks to him for that horrendous miss against Manchester United, because that would have hurt the rank big time. So in the end, Son got the 14, Maddison with 5, Haaland 6, Solanke blanked, but in place now for a double game week and most likely captain. Ollie Watkins, brought him back in a few weeks ago, thankfully, another 13-pointer, incredible FPL season. No signs of him slowing down and no sign of him leaving my team anytime soon either. Foden was in with a 15-pointer, Saka got 7 despite going off at half-time, and I got the double Arsenal clean sheet from David Raya and Gabriel. The issue was the rest of the defence, and that's why I ended up on the red arrow coupled with the -4, because Pau Torres didn't play, Pedro Porro didn't play, Estupinan finally did start and got me a big fat 0-pointer. And Amari Bell, my Luton defender, made a recovery, but only managed 5 minutes. So don't think I'm going to be able to rely on him for Luton's double game week either. And of course, Areola on the bench with a 13-pointer. A lot of other goalkeepers scored well this week as well, like Dubravka. Other players that people have been holding for a long time, like Anthony Gordon, you know, Douglas Luiz got a few points again. There was a lot of players that delivered that I didn't own. So overall, not a terrible game week. I think it was 77k to 98k. But like I said, I'm hoping for a sprint finish from game week 30, 31 onwards. So I just need to try and survive these next few weeks. Probably going to be a few more hits, more than likely a couple of more red arrows. But we'll take those on the chin and then we'll hopefully make all that back and more afterwards. The plan is not to free hit in Game Week 29. That was, you know, factored into my most recent transfers. Players like Pau Torres who came in, I hope he's fit. I kept Pedro Porro. I hope he's fit by the time we get to 29 as well. And obviously bringing in Son and Madison was one eye on good fixtures, but the other eye on Game Week 29 as well. So I'm gearing towards getting through Game Week 29 with a couple of hits, and then wildcarding in 30 or 31. The free hits at some point after, maybe 34, maybe 37. And then the bench boost, I'm not too concerned about. Probably whichever double I don't use it for in terms of the free hit. So that's my loose plan for the rest of the season. A look at the player minutes. It was quite a fun exercise this week, going through all 10 matches and looking at the minutes. We warm welcome Totti from Wolves, Bobby Clark from Liverpool, and his teammate Andy Robertson. So we have three new members joining the 59th Minute Club. So welcome to those three. Notable mentions for quite a few players this week. Amari Bell played just 5 minutes. Senesi, another double gaming defender, only played 11 minutes. Very unlucky if you bought him last week. Darwin Nunez came off the bench to play half an hour. Brighton, a lot of notable mentions here. De Zerbi with one eye on the Roma fixture. Pascal Gross and Buonanotte only got 31 minutes from the bench. There was 45-minute appearances for Nciso, Lamptey, Adingra and Ansu Fati. And Lewis Dunk and Lallana almost joined the club, both substituted after 58 minutes. So we know De Zerbi likes the 59th Minute podcast, and he did his best there to get a few new members for us. At Wolves, goalkeeper Sa and talisman Neto both went off with injury issues at half-time. Bukayo Saka off at half-time for Arsenal due to illness. Trippier missed out on the Newcastle clean sheet, getting just 51. And Doku got 58 minutes for Manchester City. So a very interesting week in terms of minutes. But most importantly, welcome Totti, Bobby Clark and Andy Robertson. A watch list update ahead of Double Gaming 28. Players added: Mengi, the Luton centre-back. A strange one to be added to the watch list at 3.9 million. But in my scenario, because I'm not free-hitting in 29, buying a Luton defender is more attractive than buying a Bournemouth defender this week, because I get the three fixtures over the next two game weeks rather than just two. And obviously Senesi is probably out of the picture now anyway due to injury, and he was the one I liked most from the Cherry. So I've got Amari Bell, I've got Estupinan. I'm probably going to sell Estupinan for Alfie Doughty, which feels like the easiest FPL transfer I will ever make in my life. But I also might go one step further. If I'm short of defenders again, and if I don't want to play Pau Torres or Pedro Porro, who play each other this week, I might take a minus four to sell Amari Bell for a second Luton defender. What a crazy game we play. I'm talking about taking a minus four to get two Luton Town defenders, but that is the double game week season that we are currently in. So Mengi joins the watch list as a possible replacement for his teammate Bell. I've also added Munoz, who's been playing right wing back for Crystal Palace and has looked very impressive. As someone who doesn't watch much football outside the Premier League, I didn't know much about this guy, but had a quick deep dive into his numbers. And I think it was Genk he was playing for the last couple of seasons. And over two seasons at Genk, he scored 15 goals. So that caught my eye when I was doing a bit of research. So Munoz at Crystal Palace, one for the watch list, as is his teammate Eze back on the watch list after that excellent free kick at the weekend. A lot of players removed from the watch list this week. Senesi injured, Trippier injured, Maguire also injured. Dawson's gone from Wolves because, I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago I was looking at him as an option, but no longer. Also not interested in Sarabia anymore from Wolves either. I just think there's too many injury issues there and they've dropped off in recent game weeks. Neto, likewise, gone from the watch list because of that slight injury concern. Richarlison gone as well for obvious reasons. And then Adingra and Pascal Gross have also left the watch list because rotation for Brighton around these European fixtures. So that is the watch list updated ahead of this weekend's action. few stats now from Game Week 27, which I took from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Defenders, first of all, that guy Stupinen, who is imminently about to be sold from my team. He did create five chances, but that is not going to be enough to save him from the chop. Robertson, despite joining the 59th minute club, created four chances in those 59 minutes. Alfie Doughty and Malo Gusto, who I sold recently, both created three chances. Doughty took eight corners, and I think in total it was 13 crosses in that game. So I think Doughty is up there with Solanke as the best double game week picks for this weekend. Reguilon at Brentford, he seems like a player transformed at Brentford. Certainly don't, you know, he's not playing similar to how he did at previous clubs in the Premier League. He's very, very attacking. He's getting in the box, and he registered three goal attempts in the box in the most recent fixture. So he's an option for game week 29. Midfielder numbers, Bernardo Silva, seven chances created. Kevin De Bruyne, six chances created. So I feel fortunate that De Bruyne didn't punish me with that transfer out. Leon Bailey and Odegaard, both four chances created. Really like Leon Bailey for that game week 29 as well. Kyungmin Son had two big chances. Sorry, created two big chances. Timo Werner certainly missed one of them. Again, I felt as a Son captainer that I could have had even more points in that fixture with Son hitting the post as well. Foden, what a season. Nine goal attempts, six shots in the box. Absolutely fantastic player, playing the best he ever has in a Manchester City shirt. We all probably have a decision to make soon whether we keep him or we sell him, because there's a blank in 29. There's a couple of tricky fixtures against Liverpool and Arsenal. But for me, I think he's probably going to survive this week at least. Cole Palmer had six goal attempts. Kevin De Bruyne and Heung-min Son both had five goal attempts. Son in particular, four of those shots were from inside the box. I think De Bruyne's and Palmer's, maybe they only had two shots in the box each. Elanga continues to impress in a Nottingham Forest shirt. Two big chances, but no goals. He is an option for Game Week 29 as well. Phil Foden had the top expected goal involvement among midfielders with 1.73. Carlton Morris, who I really like as a double gaming option and for 29, if you're not free hitting like myself. Morris created three chances and he also has three shots in the box. Elsewhere among forwards, Ollie Watkins, five shots in the box, pretty standard, excellent underlying statistics. Darwin Nunez played about half an hour, I think it was 37 minutes in total. If you add on the added time, five goal attempts and four shots in the box from Darwin in reduced minutes. Very impressive. Erling Haaland had three big chances and he was the top forward for expected goal involvement with 1.68. So in the rare week where I went against him for the armbands, I feel like I was lucky that I wasn't punished. And Solanke had just one goal attempt. So that might concern some people for captaincy, and maybe more so for a triple captaincy. I think, though, if I still had my triple captainship, I would triple captain Solanke because the fixtures are just too good, especially when you look at Sheffield United and their performance on Monday night. Before I get into the questions, a quick plug for my Patreon, patreon.com/FPLGeneral. If you want to support me, support the podcast and get lots of extra content in the form of ITS podcasts, live streams, Q&As and team reveals. That's patreon.com/FPLGeneral. Questions this week, the first one from FPL Just Brill. Is it dangerous to go into double game week 28 with absolutely no doublers and prioritise blank game week 29 transfers instead by not using the free hits and planning transfers to get 8 or 9 players? I think we've got to remember it's Luton and Bournemouth here for a double game week. It's not Manchester City and Arsenal. So the teams, I think our expectations need to be low. But I do think there is good assets in those teams. Certainly Solanke number one, I would put Alfie Doughty number two, and I really like Carlton Morris for the next couple of weeks as well. Morris is attractive to non-free hit 29 managers like myself because you get the two games this week and you've got the fixture against Forest in 29 as well. And if you've got a wild card, you can then lose them in 30 or 31. So I think it is dangerous not to have Solanke in particular. He's going to be captained by almost everyone. He's going to be triple captained by a lot of people. So I think even just buying yourself an insurance policy by even just owning them, even if you don't want to captain him. I think that's a sensible thing to do because you're setting yourself up for a lot of pain if he does turn up and do well when the fixtures are so good. And we know he's having a very good season as well. Hopefully he shakes off those injury niggles that he's had recently and that he's fully fit and firing in the double. So I think I would prioritise getting Solanke if you don't have any at the moment. If you can fit Alfie Doughty in, great. If you don't have any at the moment, you're probably not making three transfers to get a Carlton Morris as well. But certainly Solanke should be brought in if you can. Question from Mike F. Transferred in Senesi this week. Zero money in the bank. Can't afford Neto. Which other Bournemouth defender or Luton defender should I replace Senesi with? Yeah, very unlucky with the injury, terribly timed for FPL managers. That's the frustrating game that we play. If you, again, every question has a caveat this week. It depends on whether you're free hitting in 29 or if you're not. Because if you are free hitting in game week 29, replacing Senesi with another Bournemouth defender makes a lot of sense. I would just go for Zabarni, his centre-back teammate, secure for minutes. More secure in my eyes than someone like a Kerkez at left back, who has been in and out of the team this season and has Lloyd Kelly for competition if he's fit in any time soon. So Senesi to Zabarni is straightforward if you're going to free hit in 29. If you're not free hitting, I like Luton defenders. So Senesi to Doughty is a no-brainer. Or you could go for a cheaper Luton guy like Mengi. I'm going to spend my week researching Luton defenders that cost 4 million or less. Kabore, I think, played very well in the most recent game, but he's been in and out of the team as well. So I'm going to have to chat to a few Luton fans this week and figure out whether I go Kabore or Mengi, or maybe even someone else like a Reece Burke. So what a time to be alive researching 4 million Luton defenders. But Mengi, to me, seems the safest. So yeah, go Doughty if you are not free hitting, and then just go Zabarni, because it's not just double game week 28 where Bournemouth have good fixtures. They've got good fixtures afterwards as well, so it can be a, you know, a decent option on your bench after that. Question from FPL Acumen: who's the best Bournemouth defender and midfielder? So I would say Zabarni is the best Bournemouth defender, just safe in terms of minutes. If you're a more adventurous, aggressive manager than I am, maybe you do take a punt on a Kerkez, but I would just play it safe with a centre back. I know he doesn't have much goal threat, but FPL is a funny old game, and very often strange things happen when we don't expect them to. So it wouldn't surprise me if Zabarni picks the double game week to get his first goal of the season. I presume he doesn't have any goals yet. I didn't even look at that, but off the top of my head, I don't remember him scoring. Not that I pay too much attention to Bournemouth defenders scoring goals. The best Bournemouth midfielder is possibly none of them. I think you might be better off going elsewhere completely. But if you're dead set on getting one, it's probably a shootout between Kluivert and Tavernier. I would go Tavernier. I just think over the course of the season, he's done more. I think he's probably a bit more secure in terms of minutes. Again, didn't double check that before the podcast, but Tavernier just feels like there's a few different routes to points there, as opposed to Kluivert, who often gets subbed early. So Zabarni and Tavernier are the Bournemouth picks if you're that way inclined. Question from FPL Brooklyn: Luton have three games to Manchester City's one over the next two game weeks. Haaland to Morris seems equally crazy and logical. For those of us dead-ending and wild-carding in game week 30 or 31, what are your thoughts? I totally agree with FPL Brooklyn here that selling Haaland for Morris sounds absolutely crazy. And then you look at the fixtures and it makes so much sense. So I think it's something I'm going to consider this week. I'm going to prioritise my defence because it's a mess. So Doughty will come in. I might get another defender for a minus four. I might not. Maybe I just play a Pedro Porro or a Pau Torres if they look like they're going to start. But Haaland to Carlton Morris, because I'm not free hitting in 29, makes sense because you get three fixtures of Morris and one fixture of Haaland against Liverpool. So you're hoping Haaland doesn't do much in that fixture, and you're hoping Morris does something, and he's got three games to do something. I think the chances of Morris outscoring Haaland in three games versus one is pretty high, even for a minus four. Morris is a penalty taker. He's got decent underlying numbers recently, and I just like him. And I like Luton. I think Luton are a lot better than they were, you know, in the first half of the season. So This is a crazy game we play. And if you told me, I'd be thinking about selling a 14.5 million Erling Haaland for a Carlton Morris, who plays for Luton Town in the Premier League, I would have just laughed at you. But here we are. And I think a lot of people will do that this week. And I may be one of them come Friday night or Saturday morning. So I do need to give that one more thought. But it's certainly viable if you're not free hitting in 29 and you've got a wild card. I think that's the important part. You've got a wild card in 30 or 31 to get Haaland back in, maybe to get the likes of Salah and all the other, you know, usual suspects as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. I think there will be a movement this week on Haaland to Morris in the community. Question from FPL Postie. Who would you prefer to see you through the next two game weeks, Morris or Muniz? Muniz has been very impressive at Fulham. Again, depends whether you're free hitting or not in 29. If you're not, then I think Morris just makes sense because he's got an extra fixture over the Fulham striker. And we know Morris takes penalties as well. Not sure if Muniz would take one at Fulham. So Morris over Muniz would be my suggestion there. Question from FPL Barrister Jeremy. I might need a barrister next week if anyone's filing complaints against me for suggesting Haaland to Morris was an okay move to make. So keep your phone on loud next week, Jeremy. I might need you. Jeremy asks, free hit 29 or take multiple hits over multiple game weeks? So I've gone for the approach of the hits and the free hit later. I've taken hits, I think, in every game week in the last three. I'm almost certainly going to take another minus four, maybe a minus eight this week. I think when I get to game week 29, there's a chance I take another minus four. And then I'm just hoping that free hit is very powerful later in a double game week where it was justified keeping it. And we won't know whether it was or not until we look back on the season as a whole. So I think there's various ways to approach it. You can take hits absolutely fine, as long as you're not going nuts, you know, with loads of minus 8s and minus 12s. I think a minus 4 here and there, the odd minus 8 is okay. But then a lot of people are just keeping it simple and just using a free hit in 29, which allows them to avoid hits in the meantime, and then hopefully have a very good game week with 11 strong players in 29. So it just depends what way you want to approach it. And of course, it depends on what players you currently have. But I kind of committed a few weeks ago just to being open and comfortable to taking a few hits and taking the red arrows on the chin. And then hopefully the last, you know, 8 or 9 game weeks of the season can be much better. Question from FPL Redman. Is free hit 29 worth saving if you have the top 6 or 7 players that week? If you can get to them for a few hits? Yeah, similar question. Redman mentions Ivan Toney, Ollie Watkins, Heung-Min Son, Jared Bowen, etc. So yeah, that's my approach. If I can get to 6, 7, 8 players, I'm actually hoping to get to 9 or 10 if I can, which is possible with a couple of hits. You know, I've already got Madison and Son in. I've got Watkins. I'm planning to get Toney in 29. I might get Jared Bowen for a minus 4 or another Tottenham attacker when we get to game 29. So, yeah, if you've got 6, 7, 8, even if it's a couple of minus 4s here and there, I think that's fine. And we're just hoping then that we're banking on the free hit being more successful later in the season. Question from Coltane. Who's more important from game 30 onwards, Erling Haaland or Mohamed Salah? I think the answer is both. I think when we get to game week 30, and more so game week 31, that I think we're all going to probably want to squeeze in Haaland, Salah, Saka, Watkins, and Son as well. So it's going to be extremely difficult. So I think we're going to be back to a period where we need to make a sacrifice. It's probably going to be, which one of those big guys do you go without? Or do you really compromise on the other, you know, 3 or 4 positions in your starting 11? So going to be very interesting, I think, from game week 30 onwards, trying to fit those big hitters in. So yeah, I'm not going to say which one's more important because I think most managers will be looking to own both Haaland and Salah at that point. Question from Historian FPL. Looking at the fixtures, wildcard 31 looks good for City and Arsenal, but wildcard 30 looks great for Liverpool. What impact will a short turnaround between 30 and 31 have on your thinking? Very good question. And I hadn't really looked ahead too much in terms of exactly when I'll play the wild card and what the game weeks look like. But the question here basically highlights that City and Arsenal play each other in game week 30. So it might be nice to wait until game week 31, get that fixture out of the way and then wild card. Also, a lot of the picks that non-free hitters in 29 are picking up now, like Tottenham players and Aston Villa players, They all have nice fixtures in Game Week 30 as well. So that's another reason to wait until Game Week 31. But then the problem is Liverpool, Game Week 30, are at home to Brighton, which is a really nice fixture for players like Salah if he's fit, and Darwin and the like. So it might be a case of you might need to sacrifice, or we might need to sacrifice Liverpool players, or we might only be able to get one of them in Game Week 30, and then wildcard the week after. So what might be a good idea is, if you're in my boat, start thinking about Salah Game Week 30. If you want to wait until Game Week 31 for the wildcard, you might want to leave some cash available to be able to get Salah in a free transfer in Game Week 30. And going back to the Haaland to Morris question, losing Haaland for Morris makes it easy to get Salah in Game Week 30. I really shouldn't be encouraging people to do that, but you've got to present these opportunities, these scenarios, and let people decide what they want to do. So that is something I probably need to look at as well when I'm making my transfers this week and next week, is trying to leave an easy route to Salah in 30, possibly captain at home to Brighton, if I'm not going to wildcard until 31. Historian FPL mentioned here as well, there is a short turnaround between 30 and 31. So Game Week 30 is a weekend round of matches, and then Game Week 31 deadline is Tuesday. So it's weekend, then midweek, which obviously, if you're wildcarding in 31, the deadline's on a Tuesday, so you've effectively only got about 2 days to, you know, tinker with your wildcard squad. So that might play a part. Some people might prefer to have more time and wildcard in 30 and give themselves a week to do so, as opposed to rushing it for Game Week 31. But I certainly think, you know, with the current players I have, looking at the fixtures, I like 31 more than 30, but we'll cross that bridge when it comes. Final question is from Garrett. Do you see the template changing in Game Week 31 to a 3-5-2 with a midfield of Salah, Son, Saka, and perhaps Foden and Cole Palmer? Yeah, I do. Like I said earlier, I think Haaland will probably still be in Game Week 31 wildcard teams, and then you're going to be trying to fit all those players in that we just mentioned. So maybe Solanke drops out of the template at that point, Watkins probably stays, and then it's a case of, can you fit all those players in? Which is probably a no. And then which one do you sacrifice and go cheaper with? So it's going to be a very interesting period, Game Week 31 until 38. Captaincy for Double Game Week 28. Solanke is the standout. Fixtures don't get much better than Sheffield United at home and Luton at home. Solanke will be my captain, and I think I would triple captain him if I still had the chip. If you don't want to captain Solanke, or if you're concerned about his fitness, you could go for Carlton Morris. I should call this episode the Carlton Morris episode, because I'm giving him a lot of love. Morris plays Crystal Palace away and Bournemouth away. I think that's fine if you want to be different. Alfie Doughty is an outside shout for a captain as well in those fixtures. And then you've got the single game makers, Haaland away to Liverpool. Saka is at home to Brentford if he's over his illness, which I'm sure he will be. And Jared Bowen is at home to Burnley, which is very attractive as well. But for me, got to be a double game week captain. Solanke's my number one choice. I'll put Carlton Morris number two, and I'll put Alfie Doughty number three, and watch all three of them blank in both games. My bus team for the weekend, before any transfers are made, I will be starting Areola this week at home to Burnley, because David Raya cannot face Brentford, so hopefully another penalty save this week from Alphonse. Gabriel will be at the back. Question is, who's going to be beside him? Doughty will definitely come in, and then it's a question of, do I play Porro, Pau Torres, or do I take a -4 and get another Luton defender and then buy myself a Luton Town shirt on top of that? Saka, Son, Madison and Foden in midfield, which sounds good. Up front, Erling Haaland, Ollie Watkins and captain Dominic Solanke. On the bench, Raya, who cannot play, Garnacho for sub, and then Estupin and Bell are there at the moment. Transfer thoughts, one free transfer, just 0.2 million in the bank. Estupin to Doughty, possibly Bell to Mingy, and possibly Haaland to Morris to make it a -8. But of course, Haaland to Morris could be a -4 if I don't make another defensive transfer. So lots to think about this week. Thank you for taking the time to listen, folks. I'll be back with another episode on Friday. We'll see if I've talked myself off the window ledge in terms of selling Haaland, or if I'm open to buying Carlton Morris, who's going to turn into the Brazilian Ronaldo over the next couple of weeks. If you're not interested in the Patreon stuff, you can simply buy me a coffee instead at buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. Anyone who does so gets an invite to my FPL Discord server. Talk to you soon, folks. Podcast Network.